So I was thinking, who are my heroes? Who are the men and women that I look up to, whether it's for advice, whether it's for inspiration, or just whether it's just someone that I have admired from a distance? And I realize now that the majority of my heroes are dead. They're biblical heroes, men and women who did great things for one reason or another. I have other heroes who are alive, but most of them fall into the realm of church, whether it's a pastor who has a heart for the community or something like that. But anyways, when I was preparing for this message, which is entitled When Heroes Fall Here on Selah, I came across in the Bible of the account of Samson. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Samson, but I guarantee you, whether or not you are familiar with him, you are definitely familiar with his struggle, because we all have struggles. There is something in our lives that we do or we think about that is wrong. Samson was a man full of lust. He loved women. And he loved women for a good reason. Apparently, he was strong. Not apparently. He's probably the strongest man in the Bible physically. He had the ability to defeat dozens of men simultaneously with his bare hands or with anything that he can put his hand onto, whether it was a jawbone of a donkey or whether it was just his fist. He was a strong man. What makes Samson intriguing was that his birth was pronounced by an angel. The Bible says in Judges chapter 13 that his father, whose name was Manoah, and his mother was barren. She had no children. I get the sense from reading the account that they were older in age, but no age is given for how old his parents were. But I get the impression that they had passed the years of childbearing. Anyways, one day an angel of the Lord came and told the mother that you are going to have a son. Not only are you going to have a son, but he's going to be great. He's going to be a judge in Israel, and he's going to set them free. Now, back in those days, you know, obviously if an angel's speaking to you, that's a great day. But to hear that you were going to be the mother of someone famous, someone popular, someone significant. Only thing I can equate it to, it's like an angel telling you the numbers for the lottery. And he says, don't play it until 9 months. Play these numbers in 9 months. When the jackpot is at its largest, then you can hit the billion. Well, that's what it was. In a gross way of a gross analogy. So the instructions were simple. Don't drink any alcohol, any fruit of the vine. Don't eat anything unclean. So this is a Jewish community, so no pork and no shellfish. And lastly, never cut his hair, because he's in a covenant relationship with God. He's a Nazarite. Those are pretty much the instructions. You can sum it up and say, just follow the word of God and your son would be great. And I'm positive they poured into him. You don't understand, Samson. You're great. God told you that you're great. Your name is great. You're going to do great exploits. I'm sure he heard it all the days of his life, but his actions didn't depict the fact that he believed it. In fact, he did those things that he wasn't supposed to do. Marrying a woman that wasn't from his culture. Eating things that were unclean. Like one day a lion attacked him. He rips the lion with his bare hands, kills it, leaves it on the road, goes away. When he comes back sometime later, he looks at the carcass of the lion, and he realizes that a bunch of bees decided to make their home inside the carcass of the lion. And they made their nests, and they started producing honey. So here he is, dipping his hand into the carcass of the lion, and taking the honey and eating it. Well, that's completely against the Jewish culture. You cannot eat anything unclean, and anything that touches something that is dead is considered unclean, and you'd be ceremonially unclean. But he did that. But what makes the account more interesting with Samson, though, and it brings me again to the title, When Heroes Fall, was that he fell hard for a woman named Delilah. Delilah was a master assassin. She was the Philistines' secret agent. She was the one that they believe she had the ability to seduce him to get the information, like, Samson, what makes you so strong? Because they couldn't understand him. Every time they went against him, every time they tried to fight him, he was just killing them. They could not physically arrest him. What is a hero? Isn't a hero someone that, despite the loss to themselves or the sacrifice to themselves, will put themselves in harm's way or sacrifice for others? They're the ones that are saying to do the right things when everyone else is doing wrong. When everyone else is going left, when society's going left, a hero, loosely defined, is the one who's pointing right and say, you know, that is the way that you need to go. Let's all walk there. And although Samson, for the vast majority of his life, did not fulfill the will of God of being a protector of Israel, a judge of Israel, in some ways he did. He was killing a lot of Philistines. He brought a lot of stress and trepidation to the Philistines, who were oppressing Israel constantly. And every time he had a beef, he went out and he destroyed anything that belonged to the Philistines, whether it was their farmland, or whether it was a village, whether it was the city gates, or whether it was the people themselves. But you never get the sense that when Samson was doing these things, he was doing it because of his zeal for God. It normally was, or usually was, a reaction to his bad behavior. Well, Delilah seduced him, and she figured out what was the secret to his success. So she thought, and Samson thought. He said to her, baby, I'm a Nazarite, and if you cut my hair has never been cut. You cut my hair, my strength is gone because I made a covenant. I'm in a covenant with God. God made a covenant with me. God doesn't break his covenant. And the Bible says when she ascertained that what he told her was correct, she put him to sleep, and she called the Philistines. And they came. And when they came, they beat him, they took out his eyes, and they threw him in jail. Where was God? Where was the promise of him being their savior? Where was the great strength? You see, Samson never realized that his lifestyle of disobedience, his compromising his covenant with God, that eventually God said, listen, if you choose the world, then I need to go. And when he was expecting God to be there for him, his strength-wise, he shook himself. The Bible says that nothing was there. God had departed. And that usually happens whenever we look to man for help. We call them, we count on them. But when we really need them, we recognize that, nah, you're just like me. You're flesh and blood. You have issues the same way that I have issues. You need Christ as much as I need Christ. When heroes fall. When heroes fall, the only thing that we can truly do is pray for them and believe that God will send his mercy and grace to help restore them. Samson lost his eyes, which were the object of his lust. No longer could he see a beautiful woman's figure and desire to be with her. He had no more eyes. He had no more strength. The only thing Samson had left was his faith in God. What I love about the God of the Bible, what I love about this, the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that he's merciful and he's gracious. The Bible describes a time at the end of Samson's life where the Philistines called him in to mock him once more. They had him in the temple of their god Dagon. And they were pointing at him, laughing at him, because they remember when Samson used to bring terror to them. While Samson was at his weakest moment in the natural, he was actually in his strongest moment in life. Because all he had was God. All he had was his prayer life. All he had was a request that I will remember for the rest of my life. He prayed the most significant prayer that I have read and I have prayed in a long time. He asked the young man who was sent to lead him into the temple. He said, please bring me to the pillars of the temple. While he was at the pillars of the temple, he looked up to God. Remember, his eyes are out of his head. He has no eyeballs, but he's looking to heaven through the eyes of faith. And he said something. He said, I pray thee, strengthen me just one more time. He said, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray only this once. He said, one more time, God, strengthen me. I know who I am. I know that I messed up. I know that I have fallen. I have self-inflicted wounds. I'm here because I didn't trust you. I'm here because I didn't obey you. I was living a life of compromise and disobedience. But if you will have mercy upon me, if you would strengthen me just one more time, let me have some vengeance. Let me have the satisfaction that the last of my days, the last moment of my days, these moments are going to be moments that I'm going to dedicate to you. I'm going to live for you. And God did something amazing. The Bible says that God gave Samson his strength back. You got to picture this. This historical figure, this fallen hero, whose hair coincidentally has began to grow again through his time in the dungeon, through his time in the dark. He found the only light that was there, and that's the light of Christ. He cries out to God, and he pushes. And collapses the temple upon him and killing everyone that was inside there. Now listen to this. The Bible says that there were over 3,000 of the Philistines' finest, politicians, entertainers, businessmen and women. The who's who of the world was there. And Samson killed them. Thus fulfilling his role as a judge, as a protector of Israel, and redeeming himself by recognizing that God never left him, he left God. There's hope for us when we have fallen. There's hope for us when we have walked away from the God of the Bible. He's merciful. Hey, if you are listening to me today, it is not too late to go to God and to ask Him to forgive you for your sins. He is faithful to forgive you. That I guarantee. Thank you for joining me here on Selah. God bless you. Bye for now.